get rid of its backlog of retirement claims. The latest retirement numbers show OPM's backlog's growing, even though it's receiving fewer claims than it expects. John Salamones, Vice President at FMP Consulting, former Executive Director of the Chief Human Capital Officers Council, and looking at the retirement trends he sees at OPM. John, it's terrific to have you on the program again. Thank you for being on. The number that jumped out at me was about 400 and some, and the reason for that is because that's the number fewer that OPM got of retirement claims in January than it expected to get. And it strikes me, after all the times that you and I have talked about the potential retirement wave and so many people eligible to retire and all of the bad things that people perceive have happened to them over the last several years, they're still not leaving in the kinds of numbers that we've expected them to over the last couple of years. Did you see the same trend, or did you see other items in the numbers from OPM that we should be thinking about, John? Thanks for coming on.
Hey, Francis, thank you very much for having me on the show. And I saw what you saw with the data. I mean, I think there are no big surprises to the trend line. I mean, normally retirement claims spike at the beginning of each year, and January 2015 was no different. Obviously, there are a lot of reasons why people like to leave federal service at the beginning of the year for tax reasons. But, you know, like you said, over the last decade or so, we've talked a lot about the retirement wave, and some have even referred to it as a tsunami. I think the dangers are still very real. But I'd liken it really to more of a slow and steady lava flow. What I actually picked up when you look at the statistics from the article and then look at the president's budget last week that they issued, the workforce section of the budget, they still talk about the aging workforce. And they noted that 25% of the employees who took the employee viewpoint survey responded that they intend to retire in the next 5 years. So that's still a pretty significant number, but I think there are other factors at play here that we need to be very concerned about in addition to retirement.
And we'll talk about some of those in just a moment, but the significant number then in that phrase to me is five, and the fact that it's not, and maybe it's the way they ask the question, to be fair, but
right.
It's not two or one. And if you think about stringing out, I don't mean that in a negative way, that number of retirements over the next 5 years, it really, really softens that potential blow, I think. And again, takes us to where it appears to me we might be headed, and that is to never really having a retirement wave, to having it be this kind of slow. I like that lava flow analogy, actually.
Yeah, and I think so the lava flow will cut through, some of the management challenges and kind of, you know, burn through a lot of the challenges that agencies are having. But I think it's really a compounding problem, not only from a retirement standpoint, but I think we have a bigger quit problem in the federal government. When you look at quit rates, I was able to pull up statistics for FY 2009 through three quarters of 2014 today when I looked at FedScope. There are more people quitting federal service compared to retirements over that five-year period. So 426,000 employees quit federal service compared to 351,000 over that same period of time.
That's staggering. I mean, because those are people who are leaving because they choose to not work for the federal government anymore, but most likely choose to work for somebody else instead of the federal government, rather than people who are choosing to no longer work for the federal government, most of them because they choose to not work anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, a quarter of the people quitting federal service are leaving after 1 or 2 years of service, regardless of their age. But then you look at the millennials, 46% of millennials are quitting federal service within the first couple years of their starting on the job. So 197 thousand out of that 426,000 that quit over that five-year period, 197,000 of those, or 46%, were millennials.
Are we considering the possibility then that if the older folks are staying in place, that the reason that millennials are leaving is because they get in, they see how the structure looks above them, and they say, I don't have a chance for advancement here. These people that are ahead of me on the career chain are never leaving. So I'm not going to get the kind of training that I would get in another situation. I love the mission, but I don't have a chance to move up. I'm taking off.
Yeah, I mean, that may be a very real possibility, and I think that, you know, OPM should be paying particular attention. I know they're doing exit surveys of senior executives, but they should be considering exit surveys of millennials and those that are quitting the government after a couple years of service to see if that's a real impact and if that's a real problem. Because what I really think it does is it puts incredible pressure on those mid-career employees that are poised and positioned to take on leadership roles if there is a retirement or if there is an uptick in retirement. It will put increasing pressure on those mid-career employees to move up. But if there's nobody to backfill for their jobs because the millennials are leaving or in higher numbers, then they're going to be, those mid-careers are going to have to take on more and more responsibility, not only managing, directing, but also doing some of the work.
And don't we wind up then in the same situation we were in, I guess, in the late 90s, early 2000s, when we had the hiring trough during the reinventing government, and that worked at the time, but then led to this, well, especially in the intelligence community, this trough of employees that were able to move into the higher levels?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's a real possibility. And I think, you know, the biggest thing that we have to be mindful of is, are those individuals prepared to move into higher levels of responsibility? And do they want to move into higher levels of responsibility? And if they're not prepared and they don't want to, then we have to figure out ways to get individuals into federal service, keep them engaged, keep them happy, and make them put them in a position so they are contributing to the agency's mission, so they don't want to leave, so we can get the work done of the government.
John Salamone is Vice President of FMP Consulting, former Executive Director of the Chief Human Capital Officers Council. And you read the special report that Emily Kopp has started today about the senior executive service. We chatted about it before you went on the air. What's your takeaway from the work that Emily's done? Does it surprise you, or is it like the OPM retirement numbers where you saw kind of what you expected to see on this topic, John?
No, it's not surprising. I think it's troubling. I mean, I think, you know, it's obviously with the survey, you've got a very high percentage of GS-14s and 15s when asked the question, you know, would you join the SES today? An overwhelming percentage are no or not sure. And a very small percentage are saying yes. And I think that that begs the question of what the president's trying to do with SES reform when he had his announced project earlier this, I guess it was late last year, when he addressed the SESers, and there's some information in his budget about the reform packages. We know what needs to be reformed in the government. I think what we really need from an SES standpoint is, you know, there's pay compression, there's mobility issues, there's performance management challenges in with the system. I don't necessarily know if we need to get a group of SESers together, like the president said, to pull together reforms. I think you can talk to the SEA, you can talk to other groups who know what the reforms are. We need the business case to go up, you know, a strong business case to go to Congress to say, this is why we need these reforms. And I think, honestly, that's what the White House and the OMB and OPM should be focusing on, and building that business case for SES reform so we can inspire that next generation to join federal, to join the executive ranks.
I think the encouraging thing is that that shouldn't take too long, because as I talk to folks in this community about what they would like to see change, both people who are in government and people who are like you, who are experts in this stuff but no longer in, you know, there's a pretty wide consensus of opinion about the things that need to change and how they need to change. It's not like some of these budget issues and so on, where people know things aren't working right, but there's a diversity of opinion about how to change them. It seems to me there are a whole lot of people that agree on a whole lot of ideas that could really freshen up not just the SES, but the workforce overall. And it's just a matter of getting, I guess it's Congress, to really move on it.
Yeah, that's right. And, the Partnership for Public Service has done a lot of work in this area. I know the National Academy of Public Administration. I think Brookings is looking at these issues as well. The SEA, I mentioned Senior Executive Association. You know, I think there is wide agreement. But what I don't necessarily see is a strong, compelling business case being built around why it's important right now. And I really do think that's a role that OPM could be and should be taking on to address the charge that the president had established in, I guess it was in November when he addressed the SESers.
The retirement backlog I mentioned when you came on, John, that's certainly important. And it's especially important if you're one of the cases that's sitting there and needs to be processed. But it seems like with some of these other things that are going on, it might be not at the top of the priority list for OPM right now. Certainly something they're working on, and I'm not implying that they're not. I know that's not the case. I know they're working very, very hard on getting this backlog caught up. But among these pressing issues, it seems like some of these SES issues are things that they really need to pay attention to right away.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And to OPM's credit, I think their backlog peaked. The retirements claim backlog peaked, you know, a couple years ago, 2012. I think it was around 60,000, and they're down to about, I guess, 20,000 in the backlog right now. So, I mean, it's not a huge issue, but I do think that it's something they have to pay attention to. But there are other pressing priorities, like the millennials that are leaving federal service and making sure that we're keeping employees engaged at all levels and they feel like they're contributing and they feel like they have strong connections and they have trust in their supervisors and they have trust in their immediate supervisors and the executives in the agencies. I mean, you can look at the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey data and find where those challenges are. And I think OPM, from an employee engagement standpoint, is starting to push the agencies to pay particular attention to those challenges.